a father is a beautiful thing. It is work. And ultimately, all that our children want of us is to be present.
It's a dad show, man. And whether a man, a woman, grandparent, mother, daughter, whoever's listening, they need to hear these stories.
You're now listening to the Fatherhood Fridays podcast, season six.
My father, he was a custodian at the church, and you know, for a long time, I grew up in the church.
I believe that every father is supposed to be a better father than his father, right? So if you just by default.
Recently, me and you had talked, you know, a few months back, I had went through some issues where I ain't gonna front, man, I was just flat out weak. This COVID thing has really just drove me crazy.
You're now listening to the Fatherhood Fridays podcast, season six.
The way that I see it is when you're a father, there's different lenses in how you need to communicate
them. To be engaged with them, and ultimately what we produce as fathers will be a masterpiece.
Blowing in the wind, back at it again, once again, time and time again. What does all that mean? That means you are now listening to Fatherhood Friday Season 6 with your host with the most, traveling coast to coast. How are you doing out there, fathers and the fatherhood community? Well, I'm doing well. We're kicking off the new year with some exciting guests. I don't know where you at. It might be cold where you at. It might be sunny where you at, but wherever you are, now is the time to sit back, relax, and listen, because today I have an exciting guest I want to bring on. His name is Rob Roy. He is a single father of five daughters, ranging from 14 to 28. And he's going to be talking to us about life as a single father and the many ups and downs that he's experienced. And so without further ado, allow me to introduce Rob. Man, how's it going?
Hey, Chalmers. Nice to be here. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. And so I was doing a little bit of research, and it looks like you're from Fort Collins, Colorado.
I am, yes.
Okay. And so did you go to CSU by any chance?
I did not. My ex-wife did go there, and actually that is the story of how we ended up in Colorado. So I grew up in San Diego, and then I ended up in the suburbs of Chicago for several years, and that's where the girl's mom and I met, and then we moved here to Fort Collins many years ago.
Gotcha. Are you a fan of the CSU Rams or not really?
I follow them a little bit.
Okay. Well, being that you're originally from San Diego, tell us something that we don't know about San Diego.
Oh, wow. Well, I am just going to say that San Diego, Southern California in general, gets a really bad rap for their sports fans. And I will tell you that I am an avid San Diego sports fan, a diehard Padres fan. I have many, many family members that are the same way. And I actually think that we have a solid group of sports fans out there. We just have so many things to do that they tend to, you know, maybe not show up when the team's not very good. But I'm going to say their sports fans are better than they get credit for.
So I know that the Chargers are in LA now. Do you still root for the Chargers, being that they're in LA, even though they were in San Diego at one point?
Yeah, that's kind of a bitter topic for me, if I'm being honest. I do. They are probably still my favorite NFL team, but I don't feel the same way about them that I did previously. But diehard Padres all the way, San Diego State. So yeah,
Okay. I thought maybe it might have sweetened the pot a little bit for you, considering Jim Harbaugh's returning to San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, it is definitely something to get excited about. So, yeah, like I said, they're still my favorite NFL team. I just still have some bitterness. If they actually do win a Super Bowl in LA, there's a part of me that will, you know, feel like they had to go out of town for that to happen. So,
I understand. Yeah, I had a brother, my youngest brother, he used to live in San Diego. If you know where Imperial is.
I do, yeah.
Yep, he used to live over there. He said it was not too far from the beach, I believe it or not.
Yeah, it's close to the beach. I think it's pretty close to the Mexico border as well.
Yeah, yep. So he used to wake up and they said they would literally just walk to the beach, him and his family. So yeah, so that's my little connection with San Diego. But enough about me, man. Let's dive in today. The topic is, you know, life as a single father. And so kind of give us a little bit of background on being a single father.
Yeah, well, first I guess I'll kind of introduce myself. So my name is Rob Rohde, and I am a single father of five daughters, as you mentioned. I've been a single father now for many years. My girls were very young when my youngest was a baby when I became a single father. And but I have over 20 years of experience in healthcare, and that has been my career through most of my life. And so I've worked as a respiratory therapist in children's hospitals, mostly in the Colorado area, also in the Chicago area. And that has been my career for years. And just recently, over these last couple of weeks, I have now transitioned to full-time with my business, and a business that is my name. So it's Rob Rohde LLC. And we also go by the name of the business of being dad. And our we exist to help single fathers really create solid, healthy boundaries and build life-changing relationships with their kids, while at the same time creating a legacy that extends beyond their career and bank account. So that's who I am, and that is what I do, and I'm happy to be here today.
Well, I'm excited for you to be here too, and wanted to share with you, I'm kind of in the same vein you are. I'm a fatherhood specialist. I work for an agency called Safe Alliance, and I pretty much work with fathers anywhere from 12 weeks sometimes to 6 months through a curriculum book called Nurturing Fathers, where we're able to, you know, build back up those skills and really able to connect fathers back to their kids, and sometimes even back to their relationships. So I tip my hat off to you as a fatherhood coach, because I mean, that's how we found you, or yeah, we're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And the same to you. I mean, I think it's a noble path to take. And I think that fathers in general tend to be somewhat underserved. And I think that the niche that I'm really kind of chasing after is single fathers. And I sometimes refer to this group as the forgotten fathers, because I feel like of all of the different groups of parents that are out there, single fathers have the fewest resources and the fewest kind of tools and things that are out there to serve them. And so I really feel that that is a group of men that I feel a strong connection with, and I am excited to go even further into this journey with them.
Absolutely. And I believe, you know, society has built it that way, you know, not just single fathers, but if I was to add to that, fathers in general are the last ones to receive, you know, social services, support, help, assistance. And I believe, you know, society has built it that way. You know, there's one article out there that said that fathers didn't start getting studied until the 50s or 60s. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. No, I was not aware of that. But yeah, I mean, it does not surprise me, though. And, you know, I think that there are more and more people like you and I that are trying to step into this space. And so I think that that's great. And I think that, you know, there's an opportunity to really make a difference, not just in the lives of the individuals that we come into contact with, but on a larger scale, really, in, like, you know, as you said, within our society, within our communities.
Yeah. Yes, because fathers, like I tell a lot of fathers that I work with, fathers have the greatest impact, but we also have the greatest problems between fathers and mothers. Fathers have the higher depression rate. Fathers have the higher suicide rate. Fathers have the higher anger issues, if you will. And so it's just like, how can on one end we have the greatest impact in families, but on the other end we have the greatest mental health issues?
Yeah, I hear you.
And so what do you think, what led you to becoming a single father? You know, and you can just share with us what you feel comfortable with.
What led me to become a single father?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, I guess going back, I met my daughter's mom through work, and we, you know, we dated for a couple of years. We got married, and, you know, we were married for 10 years, and there were, you know, I have to admit, there were some really great times and there were some really bad times. And most of the time was kind of somewhere in the middle. But over time, we eventually just drifted apart, and we were not connecting, and there was a lot of tension, and there was a lot of arguing and fighting, and we ended up getting separated, and then eventually getting divorced. And if I was looking back, I think it's fair to say that there were warning signs even back when we were dating. And, you know, she might have said that as well, but it didn't stop us. You know, when you're young and you're in love, you kind of push through a lot of that sometimes, and you end up, you know, kind of where we were, you know, 10 years into a marriage that we didn't really feel that connection and that love for each other. And we just didn't have a lot of things in common and had some fundamental differences. So that is how I became a single father. And so, as I had mentioned, my youngest daughter was about a year and a half old when we became divorced. And so I had five daughters at that time, and it was a struggle. It was a huge struggle. But just to take this, just to give you my full story, since we are on this topic. So that is how I became a single father. But then about 5 or 6 years after that, there was a long series of kind of tragic events that happened that led to the death of the girl's mom through suicide.
Oh, wow.
And so that happened about 6 years ago. And so there have been kind of, I'm not trying to skate over that, but I am bringing this up to say that there have been different iterations of me as a single dad. And so there was that initial period where I was struggling to just kind of figure things out, and that was extremely hard, and I had a lot of challenges doing that, and I really felt like I was kind of failing in that state and during those periods of time. And then I finally, you know, I kind of got in my groove, and, you know, there were some things that happened, some turning points that led me to really focus and kind of change my focus and change my direction and change my priorities. And Jen and I, the girl's mom and I, really kind of reached a good point in terms of co-parenting. And we were doing that for a bit, and things were pretty good from a co-parenting standpoint. And then these events started to happen, and then that completely changed the ballgame. And that turned a co-parenting situation into a solo parenting situation, and also solo parenting daughters who had lost their mom in one of the most difficult ways you can lose a parent, and then trying to manage them, and manage is not the right word, but trying to support them through trauma and loss and extreme pain.
Wow. I mean, you said a lot just in a few minutes here. And, you know, my follow-up question would be, what kind of family or non-family support have you received, you know, in becoming a full-fledged single father? Because you kind of talked about, you know, your wife, you guys got divorced, and then over time, you know, the tragic incident happened to her. And then you became just a full-on single dad. And so what kind of family or non-family support have you received as a single father in those times or even currently?
Yeah, that's a great question and an important question. And if I am being honest, I will answer the question directly, but if I'm being honest, I don't think I appreciated how important support was or how important support would be. I think that I kind of had this feeling that, you know, I can do this initially, that I can do this. I've got this handled. I've been involved in the kids' life. You know, I've been very involved when we were married as well. And so, you know, I'll be good. I'll take care of this. And I didn't really seek out support initially. But to answer your question, over time, my family has been a huge support to me, in particular my mom and my dad. And there was a period of time when they were living with us half of the time, and they were kind of bouncing. They were in a retired state, bouncing between Colorado and Arizona. And during the time they were here with me, 6 months out of the year, it was a tremendous support. And I really realized in that moment how important it was to have other people to lean on, both other people to help out, you know, just kind of around the house or with the kids, and provide me with a little more freedom, especially when the kids were younger, to be able to, you know, go out myself or to have some downtime. And that was huge. And I did not recognize how much I was missing that. But from the very beginning, my ex-wife's family stayed very involved with the kids, and they provided support to the kids for sure. And I think they wanted to provide me support as well, but it was just kind of an awkward situation. And so,
yeah,
but they absolutely provided support to the kids. The kids went over to their house on a regular basis, and they would sometimes stay there for like a day or two at a time. They were always, I knew that they would be there if I needed anything for the kids. And I knew that for sure. And then there was our kind of neighborhood neighbors and friends and kind of family friends that really stepped up in a huge way, especially following the death of the girl's mom. All these people that I hadn't spoken with for years started reaching out and offering to take the girls off my hands, but, you know, just to kind of give me a moment to just breathe, to be there for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just the final, to kind of put a final bow on this, on a personal level, over this last year and a half, I've recognized that I've really kind of let myself go, meaning I've let my emotional needs, my self-care, my dreams, my ambition, I've really let all of that go for the sake of trying to, you know, put all of my energy towards the kids. And I came to realize that that really is not giving the kids the best version of me when I was doing that. And so I started seeking out some more friendships. And over the last, in 2023, I reached out to a couple of individuals, and I have two accountability partners that I meet with on a regular basis, one on a weekly basis and the other twice a month. And that has been huge. And those individuals have turned into really, really good friends. And people that we talk, I say accountability, but it's not just accountability from a business standpoint or from a goal setting standpoint. It's an accountability. It's accountability from the standpoint of my priorities and my values and knowing what's important to me and helping me think through, are the decisions that I'm making aligning with what is truly important to me and what my family truly needs and what I truly need. And so, you know, I'm glad you asked the question about a support system, because as I said, I let that go for years, and now that I have that, it has been a life changer, a game changer.
Man, and so what I'm hearing is that, just like most of us typical males, including myself at one point, a lot of times we think we're alone on an island, that we just got to pull ourselves up by a bootstrap and try to figure it out. And we don't take that time to build that support system, or we don't feel like we have a support system. And so what I'm hearing is that you went from that point of view of just kind of being alone on an island, not really taking care of yourself, to finding support with your family, with the wife's family, even within your accountability partners and support. And so I feel like, I tell a lot of fathers, you know, we are wired for community. We can't figure out everything on our own. And so I'm glad that you were able to share that, and because that's a lot of father stories, you know. And so what is the biggest misconception about being a single father?
Yeah, there are a lot of misconceptions about being a single father, in my opinion. And if it's okay, I'm just going to give you two.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I would say that one common one is that single fathers are not capable of being as nurturing as single moms, or I should say as moms.
That's a good one.
I think that that is just absolutely false. I think that there are certain stereotypes which can lead to misconceptions that are there for a reason, because either there have been times over the years where that has been true, or maybe it is more common for that to be true. But to take the stance that that is just simply, that it is simply not possible, or that it is not, they are not capable, that men are not capable of providing that type of emotional support for their kids, is just false. I mean, I think that they go about it, men and women, or even you and I as men might go about it in a completely different way. But the emotional support and the support that kids need more than anything is to feel heard, to feel seen, and to be valued, feel valued as they are. And man or woman, mom or dad, single or married, we all have the ability to provide that for our kids. And so I think that's a big misconception. And then
not to cut you off, Rob, I would second that I'm really passionate behind what you said, because I think one reason, in my opinion, is because in today's society, or even 30 years ago, society doesn't have a true identity of what a father is, right? And it's constantly evolving. And so, you know, a lot of times we just think of a father as a provider, you know, a person that just works and pays the bills, brings home the bacon, and the mother does everything else. And so a society often will tell you, you don't think that fathers can nurture, because we're defined by what we do, not who we are and what is in our capabilities as, you know, emotional support or social support or physical, intellectual, spiritual, you know, the list goes on and on. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that is a great point. And I, just to kind of add on to what you've already said, I think another piece of this that doesn't get talked about is that we have the ability, all of us, men and women, we have the ability to learn these characteristics, or to learn the ability to do this, even if over the years maybe we have not done this on a consistent basis.
Absolutely.
I think that that's a key piece of it as well. And I can say that even though I might have been able to do that on a certain level when I was married, I recognize that as a single father, I needed to do this on a deeper way. I needed to be able to provide that whole experience for my kids to put them in a position where they have the greatest chance of being able to really thrive in life. I couldn't just be the one who provided structure and stability and provision. I also had to be the one who would provide connection and emotional support and that nurturing piece. And so I stepped into that in a different way than what I previously had. And I learned how to do that more effectively.
That's good. That is really, really good. You mentioned that you had a second misconception. What was that?
Yeah, so the second misconception, it kind of goes along with that, but I'll just say it straight out. It's that moms play a more important role in the lives of their kids than dads. So that is one that just really kind of pushes my buttons. And I will say, I mean, it kind of fits along the same lines as what we were previously talking about. And I think it comes from the standpoint that over the years, through in society, the man's role previously, you know, not necessarily current state, but previously was to be the one who worked, the one who came in and provided discipline when he was home and structure, and the one who took care of things like in the garage and outside. And traditionally, the stereotype at least is that the mom would be the one who would, whether she worked or didn't work, her big responsibility would be taking care of the home, taking care of the kids, taking care of making sure that they were taken care of and supported. And so, again, I think that implication, though, that moms play a more important role in the lives of their kids than dads, that implies, first of all, that one piece of that is more important than the other, that the nurturing piece is more important than the provision piece, or that the emotional support is more important than providing structure. And first of all, that piece alone is false, in my opinion. But even beyond that, and we have seen it time and time again, where people that are either in my situation or other situations like that, where men have stepped up and done everything that they need to do in order to provide for their kids. And you don't have to be a single parent to do this, of course. Even within a married structure, a traditional family structure, I think the father and the mother play a really huge role. And I think you spoke to this at the beginning.
Hello?
Sorry, yes, I think you spoke to this at the beginning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we, you know, we are not defined by what we do, but who we are. And I just believe that a father can be nurturing just like a mother can be nurturing. A mother can offer provision just like a father can offer provision. A mother can work in the garage and do lawn work just like a father can. And so, you know, when you take away a job from a father, then it's like, what are you left with? And that's what I always, the fathers that I work with, like, if we remove your job, then who are you as a father? Because at the end of the day, your kids are not going to remember what you had to deal with at work. They're going to remember who you were to them.
Yes, for sure. And I think that, you know, in spite of everything that we are saying, I do think that a lot of men tend to gain their sense of identity from their job. And so I think that it takes an intentional kind of shift, an intentional shift in their identity to change how they view themselves and where they provide value. And so it does require, I think, even like an internal shift for men, especially in certain situations.
I definitely know that shift had to take place in me, and I still have to be intentional behind that, because I could reach all the fathers in the world on my job, but if I can't reach my own kids, or if I can't father my own kids, then what does it really all mean, right? And so as a father that had a successful career in healthcare, and now, you know, a dad coach, if you will, what has been your balance between work and home?
Well, so I view work-life balance in maybe a little bit of a different way than some others do, but, you know, I know that work-life balance can be a really hot topic, and I will say it is one of the most common struggles that the men that I work with are dealing with, especially early on during when they initially become a single parent, is really trying to figure that part out. But I will say, for me, the way that I view this is that there will be times and seasons within my life where my primary focus and my energy and my resources and my time is going to be channeled more towards my career. And there will be times in my life where those same resources and time and energy is going to be more channeled towards my family. And there will be times maybe where it's more channeled towards myself or my personal health. And so I think when I think of balance or integration or harmony, or however you want to say that, between work and home, I think in terms of, am I intentional with how I spend my time, my energy, and my resources? Do I have a kind of a compass and a vision that is guiding me so that I can make sure that those kind of guardrails are in place to keep me from going out of balance? And so I start with my values and my vision, and my values are my compass, and then my vision is where the direction and the kind of the goals that I set and where I am heading. But I always kind of reflect back to my values, and that's what helps keep me on track, and helps me realize when I'm falling off track with that. And so, like, for instance, that time that I talked about in my life when the girls lost their mom, I put my entire focus into them and their healing and our stability as a family. And I don't apologize for that. That's what I did. And my career, I won't say it suffered, but I had to make some changes in order to make that my priority. And I did it with clear vision and direction, because that's what I needed at that period in time. And now I'm in a state where my family is in a really, really healthy, good spot. And so I'm able to put more of my energy and focus into my business.
That's good. And so what I'm hearing is that we think of balance kind of like a playground seesaw, if you will. Just kind of being even keel. But I mean, work-life balance, there's really no true work-life balance where you can give 50% of your time at home and 50% of your time at work. There's, like you said, there's ebbs and flows of different seasons of what you have to give in order to thrive, and what you have to give on the other end in order to thrive or maybe even survive.
Yeah, exactly. So if you know, in a perfect world, I would be I wouldn't necessarily be spending equal time, but all aspects, all domains of my life would be thriving at the same time. And if they are, then I have good balance. I'm in a perfect state, or that, to me, that's kind of the equilibrium. But there will also be times when that's not the case. But as long as I'm being intentional with how I'm doing that, and there is a reason why it is maybe slightly shifted one way or the other, then I'm fine with that, and I'm good with that, and I communicate that to my family, and, you know, I'm comfortable to be in that state.
Yeah, my youngest brother, the one that used to live in San Diego, texted me the other day, and he was seeing how I was doing, and I listed all these different tasks I had to do, and what was kind of going on. And he sent something back to me that was just really hit me hard. He said, "Don't focus so much on the accomplishment as much as just being in the moment." And I was just like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Because sometimes we can have this vision on father, like, okay, checklist, I got to do this next, I got to do this next, but not really just living in the moment of where you're at right now. If you're watching your daughter's soccer practice, or, you know, you're watching TV with your son, or whatever you have to do, but just being totally present instead of forecasting what you have next.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. It's a right. I mean, that's really kind of what we're all striving for when we are working within our career or our business. We are fully focused on that. And then when we leave, we are able to disconnect from that and reconnect in the next kind of stage of our day. And for most of us, that will be with our family or at home. And if we are able to then transition and be fully present with our family in those moments, and that is we are in a really good state.
Absolutely. And then for me, I haven't mastered that yet. A lot of times when I'm transitioning from work to home, I always tell the kids, hey, give your dad about 20 minutes. I can put a timer on and I just need to go to my room and just decompress so that I can put my dad hat on. And at first, you know, my kids were little, they would come in the room and I would have to just train them, like, hey, I just need this time so that I can be the best version of myself and not just giving you the leftovers.
Oh yeah, for sure. I guess full transparency, I have become pretty good at being able to do that, or I had become pretty good at being able to do that with my career in healthcare. And I would be able to kind of leave that behind and shift back into family mode before I would walk through the door. But I have not mastered that yet as an entrepreneur who is working from a home office. And so that piece, I still have to, if I'm being fully honest, I still am kind of working at trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we're all a work in progress. And like I said, I need that 20-minute transition to take off one hat and put on another, and so I definitely understand. And so what were some of the hardest challenges you faced as a single father?
Yeah, so in addition to, you know, helping the kids and going through the death of their mom and kind of helping recover from that, I would say that there's another situation that I'll just share that really kind of changed my life. But it was a huge challenge at the moment. And, you know, there was a moment early on after my divorce where I went to pick up my kids from their mom's house. I pulled into the driveway. I went to pick them up. It was my time it was my chance to have them for my parenting time. And my oldest two girls refused to come with me. They never came out to the car. And, you know, there was some history there. There was a lot of kind of anger and resentment towards me following the divorce and during the divorce. And they had reasons to be upset at me. I made some mistakes. I didn't do everything perfectly. But I can say that moment left me feeling dejected, and it led to this kind of spiraling of shame and regret and kind of sitting in this place of being a victim and making excuses and just really being upset at the world and upset at myself. And so I will say that the challenge was that all of these negative thoughts that were going through my head and then allowing those negative thoughts to become my identity and to affect my actions and to affect who I actually was. And so that was one of the most difficult challenges that I faced.
I totally sympathize with you, because I mean, I've talked to many fathers that have experienced that, where the mother doesn't allow them to see the kids, or the kids don't want to spend time with the father. And so it can be hard, because if you're trying your best to make a relationship, continue to build a strong relationship despite the divorce or separation, but it's tougher than you think.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
And so as we are wrapping up, What's something you want to leave with our audience as a single father, or if there was a single father listening to us right now?
Well, I think I would like to leave this. I would actually like to finish the story that I just started. And so after a couple of weeks, I kind of was sitting in my room alone, and I found myself just staring into the mirror, looking at myself, and I was just so upset at myself. I had all of these emotions kind of stirring inside of me, and I remember thinking to myself, is this all there is? Is this what you're going to be? Is this the type of father you want to be? And you know, earlier that day, I had heard these words on a podcast that said, how has your leadership contributed to this result? And it was a leadership podcast, but for me, I took those words and I internalized them. And I asked myself, Rob, how has your parenting affected or resulted? So I asked myself, Rob, how has your parenting affected this result? And really, it was a moment where I finally was able to shift out of the place of blame and out of the place of being a victim into a place of taking ownership and into a place of feeling empowered. So I went from feeling like all of these situations in my life were happening to me to a place of feeling like I can control and take ownership and I have power over my future and what happens from here on. So I made a decision in that moment, the type of man, the type of father, and the type of person that I wanted to be. And I made a decision that I was going to start doing things differently from that point forward. And that was really the start of my journey that has led me to where I am. But to answer your question, something I want to leave with the audience, I just want to ask them, what kind of man do you want to be? What kind of father do you want to be? And what kind of leader do you want to be? Because we all have the ability to look at ourselves in the mirror, ask ourselves that question, and then make a decision today that we're going to start doing things differently. It changed my life forever. And so I like to share that because maybe it can change others as well.
Ooh, powerful. You're giving me chills. If someone wanted to get in contact with you, how could they reach you? If they were like, hey, man, I need some of that advice or coaching as a father, how could they reach you?
Thank you for asking. Probably the best way to get a hold of me is I do have a website as well, which is my name, robrody.com. But I would ask that everybody goes to my podcast, which is The Business of Being Dad. I release episodes every Tuesday, and it's really designed for all men. But within the show description, there will be several different ways you can come in contact with me. So you can find out more about my style and my work through the podcast, or you can click on one of the links in the description of each episode that will lead you to my website or my email.
All right. And there you have it, folks. Shifting our mindset. What kind of man, what kind of father do we want to be? This has been another episode of Fatherhood Friday Season 6 with your host, Chalmer. And we are signing off with Rob. Until then, stay tuned till next Friday. You can find us through our website, as well as through on several podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, to name a few. Don't forget to donate through Spotify. And until then, we will see you next Friday. Appreciate your time, Rob.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And cut. And here is a bonus on our behind the scenes conversation. All right, man. So what'd you think?
That was fun. I enjoyed the conversation.
That's good. So yeah, I'm gonna work on this later today, and I should have it out by tomorrow morning. And I just appreciate, I know it took about a good month and a half for us to connect, but I'm glad we did.
No problem. It was, I had some kind of personal things that I was working through as well. My father passed away late last year. And so there were just some things with my mom that had come up, and I apologize that I had